An earthquake hit the heart of the Midwest last Friday and they've been feeling aftershocks ever since. Why didn't you hear about it? Well, if you live between Michigan and Missouri, you probably did, and we talked about it in our newscast here on the BPP. But elsewhere, the quake didn't make much news. Two theories. One, coastal bias. Two, the quake measured magnitude 5.2. It shook the earth, to be sure, but there are hundreds of earthquakes of that magnitude every year, but not in the Midwest and not over a fault line that I've never heard of, and I've been collecting fault lines since I was a kid. Michael Gibson is a geologist at the University of Tennessee at Martin, and they felt the force of the earthquake there about a second after it struck its epicenter more than 200 miles away in West Salem, Illinois. Hello, Professor Gibson.
Good morning.
Is Tennessee a good place to study earthquakes?
It's a very good place. We're in one of the most active seismic zones that the country has.
But this earthquake hit 200 miles away. Is it common for that area to be an epicenter of earthquakes?
For the West Tennessee area, it is. And the area that was struck by this most recent earthquake is in a seismic zone called the Wabash Valley, which is an extension of the New Madrid seismic zone, which we have in our area of West Tennessee.
Tell me about this New Madrid fault line and the New Madrid seismic zone.
It's a rather ancient scar. It's a good way to think of it for North America. The fault zone itself owes its origin to really tectonic events that took place roughly about 700 million years ago when we were rifting open a very ancient continent that we call Rodinia. These scars are sort of been persistent through that time, not very active on a short time frame, but they store stress over a long time frame and periodically release that stress.
Why does the famous San Andreas fault line in California, that's famous, causes more earthquakes? Is it less stable? Does it shift more? Why does that get all the attention and cause all the quakes?
Well, it's a different type of system. In the California area, you've got the North American plate, sort of riding northwestward over top of the Pacific plate, and that is a process that is going on continuously today and has been going on for roughly 30 million years or so. So it is continuously picking up stress and continuously releasing that stress. Our system, being older and more of a shutdown or scar of a system, doesn't emit earthquake energy quite as frequently. Ours also, rather than being two plates colliding and riding over top of one another, really owes its origin to two plates splitting apart, moving in opposite directions.
So if, given the age, I'm hearing maybe it's something like after a long amount of time, it wears down a little and doesn't scrape as much. So a newer situation where plates are hitting each other might cause more earthquakes. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's very accurate. One thing to keep in mind is wherever you have fault zones, you have weaknesses, and if it's not releasing stress, it's probably storing stress. It's the time frame that would be a little different here.
Now, the New Madrid fault line was the site of a couple of the biggest quakes in American history in 1811 and 1812. I'm trying to think of my history. So it's in Illinois. There probably weren't that many people living there at the time.
Yeah, in this whole region of the country during that time, there would have been trappers, some settlers farming, Native Americans for sure. But the population density was fairly small.
Do you think that it got it the worst of whatever quakes were going to come out of its system, or is a big one or the Midwest version of the big one on the way?
Well, certainly we're poised to be able to have large earthquakes, maybe not quite that large if we've released a fair amount of stress, but large enough earthquakes that could be rather devastating up in the sixes and sevens are possible. Over the past, say, 1,500 years, we've had three episodes of earthquakes in our area that produced five fairly large earthquakes, three of which occurred in that 1811-12 event. So three of our five events were all within about a month and a half of one another.
When it says that where you are in Martin in Tennessee that you could feel the earthquake, is that just with your equipment or did you actually feel the ground shaking?
Oh, no. People here felt the ground shaking. I woke up to it. I was in a hotel in Nashville, which actually put me outside of the seismic zone in what should have been a more stable area, but it was enough to wake me up 200 miles away.
As an earthquake expert, can you feel it when other people can't? You're just more sensitive to it?
You would think so. At that time of the morning, my hotel happened to be next to an interstate, so I pretty well chalked it up to trucks running by.
Yeah.
My daughter was up at 4:30 in the morning, getting ready to go give a talk somewhere, and in our house, she noticed all the pictures rattling and things moving on some of the shelves. So.
So you were talking about how there very well could be in the Midwest a bigger earthquake hitting. I know in San Francisco and in California, earthquake readiness is built into all the building codes, and it's a very big issue. Have they been lagging behind on the Midwest, or are they earthquake ready in your part of the country in case the big one does hit?
In recent years, I think a lot more has been done. The mindset's different here. We don't feel them as often. We don't have to reckon with damage from larger earthquakes as often. So we have a tendency to put them out of our mind. Now, the management people, the emergency management people, and the scientists, of course, are aware of the problems, the potential problems, and have worked, you know, pretty diligently to make sure that, you know, civic areas are responding and have emergency management plans and things of this nature. As a matter of fact, when this one took place in Memphis, there was a mock disaster being set up to run just for a scenario like this.
Now, just out of curiosity, what year were you born?
I was born in 1957.
Okay, so that the math comports. That means you were 17 years old in 1974, which is the year the movie Earthquake came out.
And I remember that movie well.
Did that have a big impact on you and your future choice of profession?
I don't know. In a sense, it did have a big impact. My particular area of geology is Earth history and paleontology, but earthquakes are a major part of study, and I was about to walk off to college, and so it made things very relevant for me, sure.
And now, if the Heston flick you had seen that weekend was Planet of the Apes, you might be a simian researcher right now.
Well, I also saw that movie, and I liked it equally as well.
There's so many Heston movies. You know, if you saw the Ten Commandments, you'd be a theologian. Who knows how that would have gone?
It could have been that way. Of course, speaking of that area, that whole region over there is pretty fault-ridden also with lots of earthquake activity as well.
That's true. Here's my last question. If I was a total earthquake phobe and I wanted to move to the area of the country that would be least susceptible to quakes, where should I go?
Well, that'd be tough because most areas are susceptible to earthquakes, even if you're not actually in the fault zone. When an earthquake occurs, of course, it travels outside of that fault zone. If I had to pick the safest, I'd probably say in the mid-continent area, believe it or not.
All right. Well, Michael Gibson, geologist at the University of Tennessee at Martin. Thanks very much, Professor Gibson.
Thank you very much.
Come on, do what you do. Roll me under your mattress.
Hey, coming up, a new book explores the world of the tribute band. We'll talk with the author of the book, Like a Rolling Stone. That'll be coming up next on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
Karen's over the landfill. Buries us all in its broken back. There's a man dead.